Bible Basics, Study 6, God and Evil. 6.2, The Devil and Satan. Sometimes the original words of the Bible text are left untranslated. Mammon in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, is an Aramaic example of this. Satan is an untranslated Hebrew word, which means adversary, while devil is a translation of the Greek word diabolos, meaning a liar, an enemy or false accuser. Satan has been transferred from the Hebrew untranslated, just like Sabaoth, James chapter 5, verse 4, Armageddon, Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, and Hallelujah, Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. If we are to believe that Satan and the devil are some being outside of us, which is responsible for sin, then whenever we come across these words in the Bible, we have to make them refer to this evil person. The biblical usage of these words shows that they can be used as ordinary nouns, describing ordinary people. This fact makes it impossible to reason that the words devil and Satan, as used in the Bible, do in themselves refer to a great wicked person or being outside of us. The word Satan in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 14, records that the Lord raised up an adversary, same Hebrew word elsewhere translated Satan, against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. And God raised up another adversary, another Satan, Rezon. He was an adversary, a Satan, of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 23 and 25. This does not mean that God stirred up a supernatural person or an angel to be a Satan, adversary, to Solomon. He stirred up ordinary men. Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 and 23 provides another example. Peter had been trying to dissuade Jesus from going up to Jerusalem to die on the cross. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Thus Peter was called a Satan. The record is crystal clear that Christ was not talking to an angel or a monster when he spoke those words. He was talking to Peter. Because the word Satan just means an adversary, a good person, even God himself, can be termed a Satan. The word Satan does not therefore necessarily refer to sin. The sinful connotations which the word Satan has are partly due to the fact that our own sinful nature is our biggest Satan or adversary, and also due to the use of the word in the language of the world to refer to something associated with sin. God himself can be a Satan to us by means of bringing trials into our lives or by standing in the way of a wrong course of action we may be embarking on. But the fact that God can be called a Satan does not mean that he himself is sinful. The books of Samuel and Chronicles are parallel accounts of the same incidents, as the four Gospels are records of the same events, but using different language. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 1 records, "The Lord moved David against Israel in order to make him take a census of Israel." The parallel account in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1 says that Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to take the census. In one passage, God does the moving, in the other, Satan does it. The only conclusion is that God acted as a Satan or adversary to David. He did the same to Job by bringing trials into his life, so that Job said about God, with the strength of your hand you oppose me. Job chapter 30, verse 21. You are acting as a Satan against me, was what Job was basically saying. Or again, speaking of God, I must appeal for mercy to my accuser, Satan. Job chapter 9, verse 15, New Revised Standard Version. The word devil in the Bible. The word devil, too, is an ordinary word rather than a proper name. However, unlike Satan, it is always used in a bad sense. Jesus said, Did I not choose you, the 12 disciples, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot. John chapter 6, verse 70. Who was an ordinary mortal man. He was not speaking of a personal being with horns or a so-called spirit being. The word devil here simply refers to a wicked man. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11 provides another example. The wives of church elders were not to be slanderers. The original Greek word here is diabolos, which is the same word translated devil elsewhere. Thus, Paul warns Titus that the aged women in the ecclesia should not be slanderers or devils. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. And likewise he told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, that in the last days men will be slanderers, devils. This does not mean that human beings will turn into superhuman beings, but that they will be increasingly wicked. It ought to be quite clear from all this that the words devil and Satan do not refer to a fallen angel or a sinful being outside of us. Sin, Satan, and the devil. The words Satan and devil are used figuratively to describe the natural sinful tendency within us, which we spoke of in study 6.1. These are our main Satan or adversary. Our lusts are deceitful, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And so the devil or deceiver is an appropriate way of describing them. They are personified, and as such, they can be spoken of as the devil, our enemy, a slanderer of the truth. This is what our natural man is like, the very devil. The connection between the devil and our evil desires, sin within us, is made explicit in several passages. Since the children, ourselves, have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, New International Version. The devil is here described as being responsible for death. But the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Therefore, sin and the devil must be parallel. Similarly, James chapter 1, verse 14 says that our evil desires tempt us, leading us to sin and therefore to death. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says that the devil brings death. The same verse says that Jesus had our nature in order to destroy the devil. Contrast this with Romans chapter 8, verse 3. God, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man, that is, in our human nature, condemned sin in sinful man. This shows that the devil and the sinful tendencies that are naturally within human nature are effectively the same. It is vitally important to understand that Jesus was tempted just like us. Misunderstanding the doctrine of the devil means that we cannot correctly appreciate the nature and work of Jesus. It was only because Jesus had our human nature, the devil within him, that we can have the hope of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. By overcoming the desires of his own nature, Jesus was able to destroy the devil on the cross. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. If the devil is a personal being, then he should no longer exist. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 says that Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 matches this with the statement that through his death Christ destroyed the devil in himself. By his death, Jesus in prospect destroyed the body of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. That is human nature with its potential to sin in our very bodies. He who sins is of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Because sin is the result of giving away to our own natural evil desires, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, which the Bible calls the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. If we are correct in saying that the devil is our evil desires, then the works of our evil desires, that is, what they result in, are our sins. This is confirmed by 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. He, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins. This confirms that our sins and the works of the devil are the same. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 provides another example of this connection between the devil and our sins. Peter says to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart?" Then in verse 4, Peter says, "Why have you conceived this thing in your heart?" Conceiving something bad within our heart is the same as Satan filling our heart. If we ourselves conceive something, for example, a sinful plan, then it begins inside us. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 13 defines lying as conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. If a woman conceives a child, it doesn't exist outside of her, it begins inside her. James chapter 1 verses 14 and 15 uses the same figure in describing how our desires conceive and bring forth sin, which brings forth death. Psalm 109 verse 6 parallels a sinful person with a Satan. Set a wicked man over him, and let an accuser, Satan, stand at his right hand, that is, in power over him. Compare Psalm 110 verse 1. All through the Old Testament, there is the same basic message, that the human heart is the source of disobedience to God. The Proverbs especially stress the need to give serious attention to the state of the heart. The human mind is the arena of spiritual conflict. David speaks of how transgression speaks deep in the heart of the wicked, inciting them to sin. Psalm 36 verse 1, New Revised Standard Version. The New Testament develops this idea further by calling the unspiritual element in the heart of man our enemy, adversary, opponent. The English pop star Cliff Richard expressed this connection between the devil and the human mind in one of his well-known songs, "She's a Devil Woman with Evil on Her Mind." I'd describe the devil as the echo which I observe going on in my mind, and I'm sure you've had the same experience. "I believe in God," we think, and there comes back an echo, "Yes, but is he really out there?" Maybe this is just living out the expectations of my upbringing. Or, "Okay, I should be generous to that cause. Okay, I'll give them some money." And the echo comes back, "Yes, but what if they aren't sincere? Can you really afford it? You need to be careful with your money." It's this echo is the biblical devil. Personification. However, you may reasonably reply, but it does talk as if the devil is a person. That is quite correct. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 speaks of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Even a small amount of Bible reading shows that it often uses personification, speaking of an abstract idea as if it is a person. Thus Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1 speaks of a woman called wisdom, building a house. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1 compares wine to a mocker. And Romans 6 verse 23 likens sin to a paymaster giving wages of death. This feature is further discussed in digression 4. Our devil, the diabolos, often represents our evil desires, yet you cannot have abstract diabolism. The evil desires that are in a man's heart cannot exist separately from a man. Therefore, the devil is personified. Sin is often personified as a ruler. For example, Romans chapter 5, verse 21, chapter 6, verses 6 and 17, chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. It is understandable, therefore, that the devil is also personified, seeing that the devil also refers to sin. In the same way, Paul speaks of us having two beings, as it were, within our flesh. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 21. The man of the flesh, the devil, fights with the man of the spirit. Yet it is evident that there are not two literal personal beings fighting within us. This sinful part of our nature is personified as the evil one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Revised Version. The biblical devil. The same Greek phrase translated evil one here is translated as wicked person in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, showing that when a person gives way to sin, his evil one, he himself becomes an evil one, or a devil. Even in the Old Testament, sin was personified as Belial. First Book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12, margin. It really has to be accepted that devil and Satan are used to personify sin, because if we read these words as always meaning a literal being, then we have serious contradictions. Thus the devil is a lion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, a hunter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, and a snake, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It can't be all these things. Whatever the devil is, and we believe it to essentially refer to human sin, it is personified in various ways. Devil and Satan in a political context. These words devil and Satan are also used to describe the wicked, sinful world order in which we live. The social, political and pseudo-religious hierarchies of mankind can be spoken of in terms of the devil. The devil and Satan in the New Testament often refer to the political and social power of the Jewish or Roman systems. Thus we read of the devil throwing believers into prison. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, referring to the Roman authorities imprisoning believers. In this same context, we read of the church in Pergamos being situated where Satan's throne was, that is, the place of governorship for a Roman colony in Pergamos, where there was also a group of believers. We cannot say that Satan himself, if he exists, personally had a throne in Pergamos. Individual sin is defined as a transgression against God's law. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. But sin expressed collectively as a political and social force opposed to God is a force more powerful than individuals. It is this collective power which is sometimes personified as a powerful being called the devil. In this sense, Iran and other Islamic powers have called the United States the Great Satan. that is, the great adversary to their cause, in political and religious terms. This is how the words devil and Satan are often used in the Bible. In conclusion, it is probably true to say that in this subject, more than any other, it is vital to base our understanding upon a balanced view of the whole Bible, rather than building doctrines on a few verses containing catchphrases which appear to refer to the common beliefs concerning the devil. Study 6.1 and this section will repay careful, prayerful rereading. It is submitted that the doctrinal position outlined there is the only way of being able to have a reasonable understanding of all the passages which refer to the devil and Satan. Those words can be used as ordinary nouns, or in some places they refer to the sin which is found within our own human nature. Some of the most widely misunderstood passages which are quoted in support of the popular ideas are considered in my book, The Real Devil. Those who have problems in accepting our conclusions need to ask themselves, 1. Is sin personified? Clearly it is. 2. Is it true that Satan can be used just as a noun? Yes, it is. What real problem, therefore, can there be in accepting that sin is personified as our enemy, Satan? The world is often personified in John's letters and gospel. See Revised Version. What better title for this personification than Satan or the devil?